भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 16. King Chitraketu meets the Lord. Text number 10. Please repeat. Nahi asyasi priyakaschin. Na priya swaparopiva. Eka saravam diyam drashtam karatrinam gunadoshaya nahi asyasti priyakaschin na priya swaparopiva eka saravam diyam drashtam Katrinam gunadoshayo. Nahasyasti priyakaschin. Nahyasyasti priyakaschin Nahyasyasti Ikasarvadri drashta Katrinam gunadoshya Na not he indeed Asya to the living entity Asti, there is. Priyaha, dear. Kaschit, someone. Na, not. Apriya, not dear. Swaha, own. Paraha, other. Api, also. Va, or ekaha the one sarabadiyam of the varieties of intelligence drashta the seer katrinam of the performers gunadosayo of right and wrong activities Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He's one without a second. In other words, he's not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers of mischief mongers. He's only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Please repeat, for this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he's not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Srila Prabhupada explains, as explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has them in minute quantities because he is a small particle, Sukshima, whereas the Supreme Lord is all-pervading and great. For the Supreme Lord, there are no friends, enemies, or relatives, for he is completely free from all these qualifications of ignorance that characterize the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he is extremely kind and favorable to his devotees. And he is not at all satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees, as the Lord himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9:29, Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dvashyastina priyaha jebayanti tumam bhaktya mayite teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also friend to him. The Supreme Lord has no enemy or friend, but he is inclined toward a devotee who always engages in his devotional service. Similarly, elsewhere in the Gita 16:19, the Lord says, Tanaham duishata kruram samshareshu naradhamam Shipamya jashram ashubam asurishu eva janishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The Lord is extremely antagonistic toward those who are envious of his devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill their enemies. For example, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill his enemy, Hiranyakashipu. Although Hiranyakashipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord, since the Lord is the witness of everyone's activities, he witnesses the actions of the enemies of his devotees, and he is inclined to punish them in other cases. However, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and gives the result of one's sinful or pious actions. Om agyana timirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namam Vishnu padaya Krishna prastaya bhutale shrimate jayapataka swamini tinamine Namacharya padaya nitai kripa padaya ne gouda katadamudaya nagraga matarine. Namam Vishnu padaya Krishna prestaya bhutale Shrimate bhakti vedanta swamini tinamine. Namaste saraswati deve gouravani pracharine Nirvisesha sunyabadi paschatyade shatarine. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief-mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. So, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, many of the teachings of, as you can see, the Bhagavad Gita are further expanded. The first thing that Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is to not lament. That's the first instruction that Krishna teaches Arjuna. In fact, in the early classes that Srila Prabhupada gave to New York, often he will repeat this line that it's given in the early verses of the second chapter, Natvam Sochitum Arhasi. And he repeats it with this emphasis, like with this realization, do not lament. Natvam Sochitum Arhasi. Very profound, very sounds very mystical, and Prabhupada often repeats this line, do not lament, do not lament. Right? So here in this section, we find, I mean, after that, Krishna speaks, I don't know, like 30 verses non-stop, I forgot the exact name of the section in the Gita, where he explains all these qualities of the soul, just to make it clear that the soul is very different from what he is experiencing. Arjuna was overwhelmed by grief. He was troubled by the given situation that he was in. And he was lamenting. Right? That's Bhagavad Gita. And we find also in Bhagavatam a few instances like that. Right? Brahma, for example, he was confused. Right? Even Srila Vyasadev, this pastime, this lila, that he was somewhat not satisfied. I want to see depressed or frustrated, but he wasn't completely satisfied after compiling practically all Vedic literatures. Right? We know that. Who else? Narada Muni, he was an orphan, right? And then he was lost, he was helpless. So he's wondering where I'm going to get this satisfaction, this longing that the soul has to be completely happy, because that's the nature. Like that, we are in the middle of the pastime of King Chitraketu. As you know, he had all these dreams. For example, in the 70s and perhaps even earlier, it's a very well-known line, you know, the American dream, right? You must have heard that, the American dream. So many people wanted to have the American dream. What was the American dream? You have a nice house, a nice family, a nice happy life, the American dream. Why? Because America was at that point perhaps one the most, the richest country in the world, something like that. But there are many other dreams, and you have the British dream, the Australian dream, the whatever, this dream, that dream. They're all dreams. So that's what this section of this set of verses, it's explaining us. That, I mean, when we read this, it's like it's describing someone else. I mean, I was reading this verse, and this is supposed to be talking about each one of us. These are natural, constitutional state of consciousness, right? But practically every line that I read is almost contradictory to what I experience. This living entity, that means this one and each one of us. No, for this living entity, no one is dear, right? No one is dear. Just put your... like you have your passport photo, just put it next to it and see if it matches. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. Right? He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone. That bust the private property concept right there. He's one without a second. In other words, he's not affected by friends and enemies. That's totally not me. Well-wishers or mischief mongers. He's only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of man. So we can see how far, at least in my situation, we may be from the real me, the real self. You know, we have this book, The Science of Self-Realization, right? So what does it mean to be self-realized? Right? What does it mean to be self-realized? Now, we have various sections in our scriptures, Bhagavatam, and other, where these sort of things are explained, right? We have third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Lord Kapila explains even, you know, so much details about the creation, about the living entity, the conscious, and how perceive things and how things work. It's really overwhelming. So, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just to understand the self, it's an amazing thing. So some people hear it about the soul, and they, you know, they think this is amazing. This is practically impossible to understand. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that the living entity is, let's say what he says, as is explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So just reading this, if we reflect on these words by Prabhupada, we are parts and parcels of Krishna. One time I was reading something like this from the Gita. We were putting together some study. So I asked Burijan Prabhu about this. And then he says, don't try too hard. The living entity is inconceivable. You have to accept that there are parts that at least at this point you won't be able to understand. Because Krishna is inconceivable and we come also from Krishna. That doesn't mean that we should not try to understand things. Otherwise, why Prabhupada took so much trouble in writing these books? But this aspect of our philosophy, where our pure consciousness is explained, sometimes is very difficult to realize. Very difficult. However, it gives us a format, right? A framework by which we can understand how to manage ourselves better in this world. For example, this not being disturbed by anyone, right? By friends or enemies. We listen to our friends, we listen to our own mind. How many times we get disturbed by what someone did, by what someone said, by what someone maybe will say or do to us, and then we're constantly affected by one thing and the other. However, this is one level of understanding. In previous verses, Kinchitra Ketu acknowledges the presence of the great sages who came to instruct him. And he realizes that the purpose of, he says, the appearance of the acharyas, he uses the word, Prabhupada in his translation uses the word acharya. And the acharya's purpose in appearing in our life, in the world, is to determine what is real and what is unreal. Right? We pray, Om Jnana Timirandasya. that we are in ignorance, we cannot see. So the Acharya comes in like a surgeon. He cuts our eyes because they are blinded by cataracts, right? So he removes that. He enters very carefully and he removes that, and then we can see. Right? This is example. I cannot see, but he can see. Right? Not only he can see, but he can help me to see. That's the importance of the Acharya in acknowledging his presence. So, but as I said, this is the basic platform. Although it's a very elevated platform, but this is so when we read these verses, some of us, we may lose hope. Because, you know, like, when am I going to be like this? However, there is a shortcut, right? There is a formula by which we can quickly get there. And we all have experienced that. We all have experienced this sort of fast track state of consciousness. And it's by chanting, right? When you're in the middle of the kirtan, just maybe next time you're in ecstasy, chanting and dancing, or absorbed in your service, try to relate to these sort of verses. You practically forget, you know, that there are people that hate you or criticize you, or there are people that you just can't stand. I mean, you're just absorbed in your service. And then everything, you know, like the fog, you know, these last few days, there's some fog coming up. And as soon as the sun comes up, Krishna Surya Sama Maya, Hayandakara Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi, Maya Radhikara. That as soon as the sun of Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, comes up, then everything goes. Because what blocks us from experiencing this or from realizing this, it's the fog of ignorance. I cannot see. Sometimes you realize here in Mayapur, when the cold weather starts coming in, you know, you cannot even ride your bicycle. Even when you walk, it's hard to see a few meters. And the more the fog comes up, the harder it is to see. Right? But when the sun comes up, you even forget that there was fog this morning. Like that. So, all what we need to do, as Prabhupada explains us, is to allow the sun of Krishna consciousness to rise in our life. And then everything, you become like a instant sage or something. Everything, you can see everything as it is. There's one line, one verse in the previous chapter where Prabhupada translates. He says, the Acharyas see everything as it is. So this as it is, it's very important in our line, in our movement. Srila Prabhupada wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is. If you take time in the introduction of the Gita to see how Prabhupada clearly explains what is this as it is. What does it mean as it is? Also sometimes when Krishna says, when he talks about the vision of the sage in chapter 5 and other sections, Prabhupada also translates, see things as they are. So this vision, this understanding, this realization, we may spend years and years and lifetimes trying to understand and trying to realize these things. This is very hard, especially in Kali Yuga. Right? In Kali Yuga we are constantly disturbed. What's that verse? Prayanalpa yusaha savya kalosmin yuge janaha mandasumanda matavya bhagyahi upadrutaha. We're always disturbed. There are so many bad things, but one of the worst things that we experience in Kali Yuga is that we are often disturbed. The mind is so sensitive. If somebody looks bad at me, then I feel like these people don't respect me. There's no love in this movement. How can they be so inhumane? How can they mistreat me like this? After all what I have done, they don't give me enough prasadam. enough big enough garland or a higher seat, etc. We get into this petty mentality, but we don't see the real thing. The real thing is that we have been given this opportunity to serve Krishna, because this verse is on the level of we are not the body, right? We are not the body. So in Bhagavad Gita we have three sections, as we know, right? 1-6, 7-12, 13-18. And what is the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita? Sorry, what's the most important chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Huh? Chapter 2? Chapter 18? Chapter 9? Okay. Chapter 12? It's like an option. Anyway, I think that we all have very valid reasons why to say this. And I'm sure that you all will win if we have to argue which one is the most important one. But I just heard this pastime the other day on YouTube. Indradyumna Maharaj was telling the story, maybe you heard it, that, you know, he was preaching in France and Prabhupada was coming. So they were all rushing, trying to go and see Prabhupada. They were somewhere in France, and anyway, so they were doing Sankirtan, and they meet this very high up ranked marine. What's it called? I forgot the title of that, but it was admiral or something. You know, admiral, like, you know, like a high up there. So they're preaching to him, and they, you know, he's interested. You can see he's a pious person. He's there holidaying some, I don't know, beach or something in France. And he says, by the way, Indradyumna Maharaj says, by the way, the author of this book is coming to Paris. Would you like to meet him? Right? And he says, yes, yeah, sure. Then Maharaj is thinking, you know, how am I going to do now? You know, we are like hours and hours away. And the news have come that Prabhupada has arrived. And they're going to pack up, jump in the van, and go and see Prabhupada. So, you know, out of sheer, you know, spontaneity, he says, okay, do you want to come with us? And he says, yes, okay. So he goes, tells the wife, tells the kids, get ready, we're going to see the author of this. You know, it's a very important event. So they jump, they pack their things, they jump in the van with the devotees, and they take off and go and see Prabhupada. You know, after hours and hours, can you imagine that situation? Someone very important up there in the military of France. yeah, what's that saying? You don't want to mess up with the French. So anyway, so he goes, and finally he goes and meets Prabhupada. Maharaj arranges, and he meets Prabhupada. So he's carrying the Gita that he had bought, and he goes to Prabhupada, and then he, you know, Prabhupada is preaching to him, explaining the basics, you're not the body, you're the soul, etc., etc. He says, you should read this book, you know, emphasize to read this book. And then the gentleman, he's having the big Bhagavad Gita, and he's like, yeah, it seems like a very interesting topic. He was very interested in hearing Prabhupada. He says, but I don't think I'm may be able to read the whole book. And he says, is there any section that you recommend that I should read? And Prabhupada said, read chapter 9. Read chapter 9. He said that. Maybe Prabhupada said other things, you know. But I mean, Prabhupada emphasized pretty much every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. But the story goes that after years, one time there was a big celebration in Paris, and Maharaj was doing Sankirtan again. And then he sees, oh, maybe I can sell a lot of books because the roads were closed and things. So when he goes there, the military, something, some important place in Paris, and he sees these, you know, authorities, dignitaries in there. And then he spots the admiral there. And then he's like, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. You know, Maharaj shaved up and tall. And then the admiral, the guards, says, allow him to go in. So Maharaj enters, and then he's there, and everyone's looking, you know, this shaved head with robes and things. These in the early days. And then he goes, "So, Admiral, how have you been?" "Oh, you know, very good." And he says, every day, I read some words from the chapter 9 that your guru, Swamiji, told me to read. You know, so, and then he thanked him, he embraced him, and then says, "Now you have to go because, you know, all the military." So Maharaj is telling that we don't know. He says, in his mind, he's reflecting. He didn't know what he was doing. He was inviting this important person to see Srila Prabhupada. But that instruction from the Acharya surely changed this person's life. You know, there's no record that he came and joined and, you know, did this or that. We don't know. We cannot see. But so many people are touched by the power of Srila Prabhupada's preaching, right? And it's not only philosophy. It's not only philosophy, right? But it's a practical realization because we became happier. We may have many complaints in this movement, but you have to see the before and after. When you didn't have whatever level of Krishna consciousness we have, and now. So we have to compare. In the times of trouble, when we are faced with difficulties and we are totally not what this verse describes, that's the time when we need to remember. How was I? No? Not only the hair or the kunti malas or the dress code, but what was my state of mind? Maybe I'm not here yet, but for sure I'm happier. For sure I'm happier. And that at least, that attitude of gratefulness, gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada should be an incentive for us to think, let me do something for him, let me do something for his movement, for his devotees, etc. In fact, this verse describes how the living entity is totally aloof. And Prabhupada in the purport, if you remember, he describes the Lord as totally aloof, right? The first third, the first paragraph is explaining that Krishna is totally aloof. He has no friends, he has no enemies. Practically, he doesn't feel anything. He's just like standing there without any emotion, right? But right in the middle of the, or towards the end, at the very end of the purport, listen what Prabhupada says. The Lord is extremely antagonistic toward those who are envious of his devotees. So how is it that here we have a very aloof God that doesn't practically appears, that he doesn't feel anything? No favoritism, no preference for anybody. Just totally like a witness. Drashta means witness. Just a witness. Yeah? But right then, Srila Prabhupada said he's extremely antagonistic towards those who are envious of his devotees. Right? How is it that Krishna can be these two things at the same time? What's that verse? What's that chapter? I think 7th canto, one of the chapters is the Lord is what is this? Neutral to everyone, to every living entity. I forgot the title of the chapter. And Prabhupada explains in those verses that in fact we all are like that. You see? For example, we have friends, I have two sons and a daughter, and I'm conscious of them. I'm not conscious of anybody else. You know, I'm not so conscious about someone else's son or daughters, right? But I'm conscious of my sons and my daughter, right? So in the same way, Krishna, you know, he's the same for everyone. He's a witness. He's the father of everyone. But those sons and daughters who show some interest in his service, and his person, right, in his interest, naturally right? Naturally, the Lord reciprocates. So this is the process that we have, by the way, this is what we have got signed up for. This is a process to show interest for Krishna. And as soon as we show some interest, the Lord reciprocates. Right? Now, be warned. This is a disclaimer. The way that the Lord shows you mercy, it's not necessarily the way that you expect. Do you experience some people not? Yeah? Oh, this is a nice movement. Krishna seems like a nice God, playing the flute, enjoying himself. Oh, I joined Hare Krishna movement. Right? So naturally he's a nice person. He will give me nice things. Nice, so many things. But then we find ourselves in trouble. Struggling with this, struggling with that. Why this? Have you heard that expression sometimes from yourself? Why Krishna is doing this to me? Why Krishna is doing this to me? Have you heard that? Or it's only me? Right? Why is Krishna doing this to me? Yeah? Prabhu Amati, very affected. Or we are very affected. Why Krishna? After all what I have done, after all the sacrifice, I stopped eating meat, I stopped taking this, that, doing this. Still he's doing this to me. Why? There are many verses in the Bhagavatam and Jasyaham Anugrihinami, that famous verse, where it is explained that to those, this is the disclaimer, to those who I show a special favor, what does he do? He takes away everything. Right? That takes away. That sounds very cruel. That sounds very, don't go out and preach this to people. Jena Tena Prakarena. Rupa Goswami says, first attract people, then you give them rules and regulations. Don't go tell it. In fact, my spiritual master, he said, he takes away everything which is bad for you. Like a child. Sometimes you see these child, energetic child, children, right? They go around and play and they're so lovely and laughing and everything. And they want to grab things, right? They want to grab everything, right? They grab something and mom and dad are meant to satisfy me. They love me. So they are supposed to enable me to do whatever I want. Because for me, this piece of whatever it is, it's meant satisfaction, happiness. So I'm going to put it in my mouth, right? Fathers, mothers relate to this. Yeah, teachers, babysitters. Right. So then, there he is, getting this, whatever, putting in his mouth, So the Lord takes it away. He takes away what it's not good for us. So whatever Krishna took away from us, first of all, it's not ours. We're thinking it's ours. The baby's thinking, that microphone is mine from now on. Okay? Forever and then. That's mine. And I'm going to put it in my mouth. I'm going to rip it and I'm going to eat the parts. Because that's what I want. So the father, the mother, doing the responsible role of protectors, they push it away from us. So we may complain, the baby cries, right? He throws himself to the floor, he throws a tantrum. Why are you doing this to me? It's exactly the same thing. We may write long letters complaining to the GBC temple president management, this one, the other. But what we're doing is just throwing a tantrum. Krishna is taking things away from us in that way that he pleases. Maybe it's not my way. There was a famous song, when 60s, 70s, Sinatra, one of those. Huh? I did it my way. I did it my way. So Krishna has his way. And that is as it is. And that's why Prabhupada named his Bhagavad Gita as it is. Because it may sound impositive, but that's the reality. Krishna determines what time the sun comes up. It's like we have a democratic meeting here and you know, we suggest that, you know, can we, because, you know, we want to do something, so we can we change the timing for the sunrise or sunset or moonrise or whatever. That's there. That's there. You know, so many things that we cannot control. So why don't we try to accept? I mean, I'm talking to myself, by the way. Why I don't try to accept, at least try, at least theoretically, that whatever happens in my life is because Krishna knows better. Right? Krishna knows better. And instead of developing further that envy, that envious attitude towards the Lord, because that's why we are here, right? That's why we come to this material world, because of that attitude. Try to change that and try to accept. And that takes a lot of humility. That's why Lord Chaitanya said, right, Trinara Pisunichena, that we should keep that as a, what do you say? Keep it like a locket, right? That verse should be hang onto our necks like a locket, pendant. So we hold onto that, right? This is my locket. I have to be humble, like that. So this is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Yes, we are not the body. Yes, we should be aloof. We shouldn't be disturbed. But the reality is very different. I would say, I don't know if I'm wrong, but forgive me if I offend anybody, but majority, I think, of us may not feel totally detached, totally aloof, undisturbed by things. We are on daily basis affected by things. And I'm sure there are exceptions, that's no doubt. But whatever the case, the shortcut, as I was mentioning, is to engage in service. And then we see, make this observational experiment, we see those devotees who are more aloof are those who are more engaged. And even you do a personal reflection. When are the times when you are less affected, when you are more engaged, when you are better engaged in best association? That's why we come to Mayapur, to engage in service, to have the best association. So many exalted devotees come here and live here, serve here. The deities are here. So we try to make the most of this. Sometimes imperfectly, but still that understanding should be there. So we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and we are meant to have the same qualities, or at least experience the same qualities, but in my case, we don't. I don't. But there is hope, right? And that hope is by chanting Krishna's name, by serving Krishna's devotees, by trying to follow his mission. We may come to experience the qualities that are described here and in other sections of our philosophy. And as Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, but knowing that we are not the body is not enough. Aham Brahmasmi is not enough. That's why chapter 9 it's called. What's the title of chapter 9? Yeah, what's the title in English? Huh? Most confidential knowledge. And Prabhupada explains in that purport. First or second, there are three levels: confidential, more confidential, and most confidential. Confidential is this, right? More confidential is about what you do, and most confidential is how you're meant to do what you're meant to do to the best of your capacity. That's pure devotional service. That's why that chapter it's called most confidential. So this is the beginning, but we can see how far we're even from the intro state. Serving Krishna, surrendering to him, thinking of him, becoming his devotee, worship him in practical terms, and respecting him. Namaskuru, the four principles of love are given there. You know? So this is the process. And every time I read all this. In the first few minutes, I feel discouraged. I'm thinking, so far, so difficult, almost impossible. But the more we think or meditate in Srila Prabhupada, the more we have hope. So Prabhupada, just like in the case of Chitraketu, when the sages came, you know, he didn't have a son, then he wanted a son, and his son was given, the boon was given, and then the son died, right? So he was so happy, then he was so miserable, and the acharyas appear, right? So in our life it's the same. We wanted something, then Krishna gives us that something, then we lose that something, right? And then the words of the acharya, the presence of the acharya appear by the devotee's mercy. And then we understand, oh yes, it's true. You know, this is actually good for me. So at that time, then we can experience this. Then whatever happened to you, oh, okay, Krishna's mercy, let's go on. Let me go on with my service. That's the main thing. Whatever happens, let me go on with my service. So we stop here. Thank you very much for your kind attention and patience. So this is the section where Kinchitraketu meets the Lord. Is there any questions, any points, comments? I have a few minutes. By popular vote, no? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhavanandi. Hari Hari Bol.